show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
You have never seen anything like this before. It's Geeks Gone Wild. Watch geeks uninhibited having the time of their lives. LAN parties, Bluetooth sniffing, hacking, and the Mountain Dew flows like water. You've never seen Cheetos consume this fast. Act now and receive not only Geeks Gone Wild Volume 1, but also get Geeks Gone Wild Con Edition and the Geeks Gone Wild D&D Weekend. Order today. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Offer not available in Canada. Must be 18 years or older to order.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that just won't stop. This is show number 91, marching on our way to show 101 for March 13th, 2006. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man with the golden tissue box, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm okay. I think I'll live.
You think?
I hope.
We're taking bets. That's our next way to raise money.
You can put me in the Deadpool.
Ew.
No. You ever seen the Deadpool, that website where people bet on?
Oh.
You can go look and see if people are dead or not.
That's just morbid.
Coming. The internet, a great place.
You can find anything. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we'll have to feature that one night on Technorama.
Yeah.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got another look at origami, not the folding paper kind. We've got a case for the iPod Nano Ms. Pac-Man. Yes, somebody actually made a little stand-up cabinet. And we've got the stuff in the geek library and a whole bunch more stuff.
stuff, more stuff.
That's all this show is about. It's all about the aluminum foil hats, and I don't have mine on. So let's get rocking. On this day in tech history, for March 13th, 2006... This is March 13th, it's the 72nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 293 days remaining in 2006. The Gutenberg Bible was mechanically printed on this date in 1562, becoming the first typeset version of the Good Book. And it was on this date in 1781 that William Herschel discovers the planet Uranus. Earmuffs were patented by Chester Greenwood of Farmington, Maine, 129 years ago today. And on this date in 1884, Standard Time was adopted in the U.S. On March 13, 1923, the following ad appeared in the New York City newspapers. Radio receiving set. Latest improved foolproof design with a concealed tone speaker, three tubes and batteries. Anyone can operate it. You do not need headphones or permission from your landlord. Then in 1930, the news of the discovery of Pluto was telegraphed to the Harvard College Observatory. Apollo 9 returns safely to Earth after testing the lunar module on this date in 1969. And on this date in 1997 in Phoenix, Arizona, the Phoenix Lights, one of the most widely witnessed UFO sightings, takes place. The Journal of Nature reports that 350,000-year-old upright walking human footprints have been found in Italy on this date in 2003. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1855 to Percival Lowell, the American astronomer. And engineer Clifford Holland was born on this date in 1883. He designed the Holland Tunnel under the Hudson River connecting New York City with New Jersey. And the man behind VMS and Windows NT, David Cutler, was born on this date in 1942. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for March 13th, 2006.
Was your best friend? That's right. The hard drive, the software, even the monitor. You're listening to Chuck and Craig and Technorama. This is Victor Cajal of the Typical Mac User Podcast. Make sure you use your gadgets right. Now back to Craig and Chuck.
That just didn't sound right. Make sure you use your gadgets right.
Yeah, baby.
Shall we get into listener feedback?
Yes, let's do. By all means.
Congratulations, Skippy. You've got mail.
He never knows what I'm going to pull out of that.
I vote to make that one our standard one.
We got to finish the roll call. We've got a few of these left. But I do like that one. I may just make a mashup of some type. The first one's from Mad Marv regarding free software. He says, Chuck, in show 90, that would be the last one, there was a guy asking how to find free software for Windows. I have added a list of my favorite freeware / OS's list to the wiki. And he puts a link in there, which is list of free software lists. That's cool. We're going to have to keep that up to date. We now have another responsibility. Transcoding video in Windows to an iPod-friendly format is easiest with Videora iPod Converter. It's also free and can do batch conversions.
And it can talk to you, too.
Link to that as well. They even have a guide for ripping DVDs to MPEG-4 for the 5G iPod. Woohoo! Thanks, Marv.
Yeah, I remember right after the video iPod came out, I think that was one of the first little programs to jump on the bandwagon.
My problem was when the video iPod came out, I wasn't paying attention. It's not until I knew I was getting one for my 10-year-old daughter.
Well, yeah, fishing.
We all know the story about that.
Yep. Anyway, moving right along.
I need tests like that every once in a while to make sure I'm still smarter than they are. It's getting harder and harder these days.
Well, I think I would err on the side of them right now. All right, moving right along.
Do I need the drum roll for that?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll keep it handy just in case later. There.
Anthony says after he heard us talking about the Computer History Museum on Technorama, he realized that it's practically in his own backyard. So he took a visit. And like a kid in the candy store, he sounded like he had a good time. It says his girlfriend wasn't too excited, but I got to ask, well, why did you even take her? That's a guy
thing. Unless she's a geek.
Yeah, I'd want to spend hours and hours there. My wife, she care less.
He just bought himself like a trip to the shoe store.
Yeah.
Honey, since I was nice enough to go with you to the computer museum, you get to go to the shoe store with me.
So anyway, see, he posted a bunch of pictures. I have not even sifted through them all from the museum, and they all look great from what I can see. Like I said, I started the slideshow earlier. It looks awesome. So we will definitely have a link there for everybody to go visit. It's awesome.
That's in Mountain View, right?
I believe it's in Mountain View.
So if I go out to the expo a day early and I land in LA, do you think I could get up there and back in time?
You know what? Probably not.
No, that's because like 8 hours, isn't it?
It's a long drive up there. You mean you'd have to go see it and then turn around and get right back in the car? No.
I went there.
I'd love to. As a matter of fact, it'd be a good idea if you, I'd go with you if we rent a car, go up there and fly out of San Francisco.
Or fly into San Francisco. It'd be tough on the way out. Planning on the air. Okay, we'll have to do more offline planning.
Hey, let me get my calendar.
Hello and welcome to Technoramas. It's got a silicone skin that fits like a glove. The only thing that's exposed when it's all tight and sealed up. Even if you put in the wide body adapter, it's still too squeezy on the silicone skin. There is a little rubber trap door. It's a very thin membrane, and it impedes absolutely none.
Every once in a while, raise it up or take it off and clean, around it. But I love it. I love that rubbery silicone feel. However, I would
always feel like it's going to slide in my hand with that chrome on the back.
It gets pretty slippery, especially if you've been eating Cheetos or something.
Your hand gets a little greasy. This has a nice grippy feel, and you know, you could go out in the rain when this would be completely protected because it is practically watertight.
That's just still wrong. It's still funny.
Was this like a theme tonight?
Special shout out to the chat room. We've got Beaker One, East Bay Ant, also known as Anthony. He's the one who was just writing us about the Computer History Museum. Glenn, Jeep and Dave, K.O., Joni just jumped in as I was reading down the list. That's why it's out of order.
Joni.
Mad Marv, Mark Shepard, Norb is in there, and Philip from Australia, our listener that we hooked up with at last year's expo.
Yeah, you'll find his picture in there in our Flickr accounts.
Scafey, Stingray 42 is currently away. Well, he's always away. Tim Elliott and Zaha Doom. So if you're around on Sundays or Wednesday nights or whatever happened to be in your neighborhood, join us in the chat room. It's a rockin' time. Of course, I know most of Europe is currently asleep at this time. That's our biggest downfall. Somebody in this world has to be sleeping, unless you work third
Europe
shift.
Europe never sleeps, man.
It's time.
Is that New York?
It's time to get up and listen to the Technorama. Another reminder, show number 101 is coming, and we want your audio clips. To date, I've received absolutely none.
So hey, it's coming, and there's nothing you can do about it.
That's right. We're not sure when. But because there's some travel plans coming up that may interfere with a few shows and throw us off schedule in March and April. So, you know, we've been doing this pretty religiously twice a week. We may have to let one or two slide, but we'll get into details as we know them a little later.
Yep.
Send in your audio clips and let us know, you know, when you started listening, what your favorite parts are. Just say hi to your mom, that kind of stuff. It's always fun.
Hey, Mom.
Origami.
All right. What's the origami? Actually, you know, did you see any of the pictures and the videos of some of the hardware that was coming out of CBIT?
I think I saw one picture.
Well, there was a video that I saw talking. It was, I forget who's, it was a manufacturer anyway. You know, this is held in Germany. Now, I understand that the salesman that was showing this off, he spoke German mostly, and his English wasn't very good, but the guy was trying to ask him to show him the thing. Now, a couple of observations that I noticed, you know, they have this nice launcher that sits on top of XP. This is a full version of XP on this thing, like
right.
The tablet version, and it's got this launcher. And I kept thinking, that's so cheesy. It reminds me of, remember Windows 3.1, was it Norton or somebody had one of those menu programs that you install and so you can get to your programs faster.
Yeah.
You know, that's what this reminds me of. I'm like, you know, this is the classic reason why Apple works and Microsoft doesn't. They cannot design stuff like this for the simple reason that it looks too difficult. You had the whole version XP, then you got this launcher to view your videos and stuff like that, which you could do with the XP interface. They're just making it look too complicated. Then they got this thumb keyboard, which looks cool. It's like two quarters of a circle on either, you know, facing each other.
Yeah.
So your thumbs can hit the keys or the buttons on the virtual screen. Well, two observations I noticed was they were hunting around to find the launcher to pull it up. The second thing, they couldn't make the keyboard come up to save their lives. This is on this video. So I was like, you know, and I'm not just bashing at Microsoft, but this thing does not seem like it's ready to go. And the reason I don't think it's going to work is because it looks too complicated. Why isn't there a button that says keyboard, you know, or something to make keyboard just show up, or the launcher? You see, like Apple, I think they'd have made it completely obvious, and that's what people like. Look at the iPod. It's, you know, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to run it. But these origami things, they look cool, but to me, it's, I got a laptop.
Craig, you're missing the point. People want to experience their music and pictures and videos in newer, richer ways. This is just one of those rich ways to enjoy your rich multimedia. Does that sound familiar?
Mocking me, aren't you?
No, I'm mocking Bill Gates.
But you understand what I'm saying? The launcher, I was a little disappointed the way it looks. It looks like like the Windows Media Center interface. Yeah, that's cool, but you still got XP under it. Why don't they just do away with XP and you can still run the same apps, you know? I mean, the XP interface. Come on, man.
Who knows what evil lurks in the heart of men?
It's expensive, too. That's what I think. Philip was saying something about that, but anyway, in the chat room. But, you know, it's still expensive. The thing was like a grand, $800 to a grand. I was like, give me just a laptop.
Hi, this is Tim from the Winecast Podcast, and you're listening to Chuck Tomasi on ChuckChat.com.
Ding! We still need a rejoiner for Hacks and Strange Stories, don't we?
Yeah.
We'll come up with something.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Someone else will come up with something.
Or we will. Or, yeah, if you want to come up with something, bring it on.
We're still open to suggestions. Like I said, I got about a 14-hour podcasting weekend going here. So when it comes to little things like that, you know, that's sort of like filling the staplers for me, and I always forget until I need it. We got an email from Mad Marv. Didn't we get another one from Mad Marv? This is the second one? Boy, he was
well, he's been working it too.
Prolific. And we thank him for that.
Yep.
Mad Marv sent us a link to the mini Ms. Pac-Man cabinet that you can put with your iPod Nano. We were talking about the Ms. Pac-Man MAME. What was that? MAME Pod Nano MAMO MAMO.
The MAME that runs on the iPod. And it runs on the Nano as well.
And somebody made a little cabinet, complete with the color stickers and everything, or paper that you glue on. And they carved it up, and there's a photo gallery of step by step. And it looks just like a miniature Ms. Pac-Man game. If it was life size, this Nano would be sticking out the side about 4 feet.
Well, you know, look at the macro shots where they're kind of close, and it really looks good. And
it does.
Excuse me, call button. You can totally see where somebody would took an X-Acto knife and carve this little piece of foam out and could slather Nano in there. It looked great. It sure did.
It was proportional and everything. Looked really good. Yeah. And of course, you couldn't have a robot without having some kind of robot war. They've taken the Roomba vacuum cleaners, those little robotic vacuums that go around your house and clean it up. It's about the size of a dinner plate, only a little thicker. And they've rigged them with lasers and cannons and video cameras.
Roombas with lasers on their heads.
So I the first thing that came to mind was, let's get ready to Roomba! Special thanks to listener Alex K. for sending that one in. Another good series of pictures with robotic competition.
Hey, by the way, you know, Steve Holden from Tech News Radio was at E-Tech. I wonder if he saw that.
Ooh, maybe. We'll have to see. Maybe he's got some pictures.
Yeah, we'll have to ask him.
Steve, send in your pictures.
Bring them on, Steve.
Airing his thoughts online since 1985, you're listening to Chuck Tomasi.
You're listening to who?
Nobody. I'm Deef. That sweeper was kind of loud.
Kind of loud.
Hey, you know what? I think we jump right down to Geek Thoughts.
Okay, bring it on.
We didn't really have a whole lot of time to dig up some stuff, so this may be a really short show. Which is good, because I'm really tired.
The code that is hardest to debug is the code that you know cannot possibly be wrong.
Oh my God, they grow out of those pods.
This is Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Chuck Chat Technorama. Can you figure out who's the one and who's the zero?
We haven't talked to Summer in a long time. Maybe it's time to get back to that.
Yes, we should bring her back on.
Not sure.
Hey, I found this article in our geek library. It was, I had a link to it. It was the gentleman who made the cubicle.
Made the cubicle.
Originally. Actually, you know what's funny is I read this whole article and it started off where he was trying to make an environment for people to work easier and not just the cube. So it's not, you know, you don't get off that easy just thinking about it, you know, oh man, the guy that made the cube. But actually he was trying to make an environment that was easy to work in. But between, I guess, all the companies wanting, so I want to cram more people in this area and high density and that kind of thing. He just kind of evolved into that, and that wasn't exactly his vision. It was more like a side effect. So it was a really interesting read. He talks about, they even have a nice photo gallery showing some of his early setups and mm-hmm. some things that didn't work on the way to the normal cube that you see now, and how that's all turned around. It's really good. It's over at CNN Money.
What did people do before they had cubes? Was it just desks in an open area?
He's got this big steel case desks, and yeah,
they put them face to face. So it was all open area.
I think before, I don't know. So it was the first one. It was like in the early 60s. So people didn't work before then.
They
worked in sweatshops.
The early furniture, I remember going to my dad's office when they had some of this stuff. It was really bad. I mean, you could mm-hmm. knock it over really easy.
Oh, yeah. Well, my dad was an engineer, so I just remember seeing a bunch of, drawn tables.
I'm looking through. This looks pretty familiar. They've got pictures from 65, 69, 1978, 1985, and up until 2004, I think, is the latest picture. And, there's a Mac on the desk. How about that?
Go look at the early pictures. It's kind of interesting because he was experimenting with
bookshelves,
setting people back to back, you know, just their backs facing each other with something in between. And then it kind of evolved to the cube-ish type thing. It's pretty cool. And a lot of the pressures came from other companies wanting to do what they wanted, what they were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that same type thing, modular cubes. And so they were kind of caught in we got to give the customer what we want, and they want cram people in. So
I finally got an office with a door this week. I'm no longer part of the cube farm. And then what happens? Thursday, I'm told I may have to move. I travel light, though. Nothing stays unpacked because I usually move on the order of about every 10 to 12 months.
So I moved a bunch of times at work, you know, but luckily I've been in the same place lately. Actually, I got a corner office.
It's always funny. Who wants what office and what
cube? Actually, you know what's nice is I got all these windows all around me around the corner office. I'm in a cube. You know, I got my back faces the
windows.
Windows, yeah. Actually. Oh, that's great and all, but you know, at first I was like, yeah, this is awesome when I moved my stuff in. Well, the first morning after I moved in, here comes the sun.
Yep. The right people with the window back seats always close the blinds. Like, what are you doing?
I keep them all closed. You know, glare on the monitor.
Last link of the day.
Oh, yeah. This is the a guy took a picture of the Apple store, and this is for the iPod Hi-Fi. And it looks like the windows shattered except for, you know, or it looks like the thing shattered the windows. It's like a big sticker on the window.
You see it? Yep, I do.
It looks like somebody threw a rock through the window. But if you look at the hole where whatever it looks like went through it, there's the iPod Hi-Fi.
That must really confuse Elmer the mall security guy.
What the? Oh, it's just a fake. Okay.
They get me with that every time.
Yep. Anyway, it looks pretty cool, so I included it here tonight.
Anything else?
It seems like I had something else, and I can't remember.
I'm out of links.
I did watch the Cars trailer, the new trailer,
the CGI for the movie Cars thing. Yep.
And you know what? Those people are just awesome because that movie looks beautiful. It really does.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, I am.
If it's CGI, I don't have a catchy phrase. I just want to watch it.
It's kind of like,
if it's free, it's me. If it's pay, no way. Well, if it's CGI, that's another. Okay, let's talk about acronyms since we got a couple minutes here.
Mm-hmm.
We need like an IEEE or an ANSI standard of acronyms. Of course, there I just used two acronyms. If you're playing the drinking game at home, that was two drinking cues.
For every acronym we use.
Take a drink. Now think about it. What does ATM mean to you? Is it an automatic teller machine, or is it a network protocol?
Yes.
How about CD? Certificate of deposit, or compact disc? Or there's another one. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. You see, we need to get these things all standard out. Once an acronym is used, you can't use it again. All right, so CGI to me was Common Gateway Interface when I was learning how to do web programming.
Hey, well, they kind of do that with file names. You don't really see a whole lot of overlapping with that. Oh, sometimes, but...
Right. File names don't overlap. So when you're late to the table and you're developing a new PostScript format or something, you get letters like HG. It doesn't make any sense.
Neither is what we're talking about. So let's move on out of here. I'm going to get you to read the stuff tonight because I just can't do it. Stupid allergies.
Stupid allergies. You need CGI nasal passages.
Yeah, I need a CGI hole in my head.
All right, one last reminder for tonight. Show number 101 is coming up. We want your audio clips. There is, a couple more days to register for the iTrip Nano. That's the FM transmitter thing that goes on your iPod Nano. We are not giving away an iPod Nano where you got a little clip-on FM transmitter that goes with it if you want to enter.
So there's plenty of homework for you guys. Send us clips and register for the iPod Nano iTrip.
Your homework is due by Wednesday. We will be drawing for the iTrip Nano on Wednesday. Send it to chuckchatplusnano@gmail.com and you're all set. Here's how you can contact us. Listener line is 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. Or you can email me, chuck@chuckchat.com. Audio comments, if you are sending in those wonderful show number 101 comments, send them to chuckchat@gmail.com. Craig can be reached at Craig, that's K-R-E-G, at chuckchat.com. Website, as always, how did you say that? The one constant in the universe?
Yeah, the one constant in the universe. Go to chuckchat.com.
Because the gravitational constant is no longer constant, we found out. So this website is the only thing left. For forums and swag and webcam and mailing lists and chat rooms and lions and tigers and bears, oh my. This show is a proud member of friendsintech.com. As you heard at the beginning of the show, where it goes 3, 2, 1. Yep, that's the one. Friendsintech.com is where you can find out more about this and other wonderful tech shows. And if you're listening to this show by clicking on the link on the website, consider subscribing for free, free, free to get the show automatically delivered to you. Drop either one of us an email, and we can help you out if you're confused.
Much like us.
Your other homework assignment is to tell a friend or two or more about Technorama. Just start laughing out loud while you're listening to your MP3 player, and they'll wonder what's up. And you say, I got this great thing on my iPod called Technorama, and they'll want to know more.
Okay, we'll get the doctor to clear that up.
Craig, do you feel well enough to give us a binary high five and send everybody home?
Yeah.
Binary
one,
high
01.
Oh, and we have a binary high five in Dutch, courtesy of Jorga, as soon as this song is done. So, till next time, thanks for listening.
Later.
How would you say 101 in Dutch? Well, it's in.